My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I gotta catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
She's going around the corner.
Come on.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We should mate.
What?
Date. I said we should date sometime, you know, socially. Go ahead, kick it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
You're pretty sick, Chubbs.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour numero dos here on The Fan. We have a lot to get to.
People are speaking. Photography, easy job. Randy Johnson's a professional photographer. Another one.
Have you seen his photos?
No, I never have. I have no
clue. What if they're like, what if he is legitimately great?
He's 6'11". He can like get rid of shadows and get the best angle just from being himself.
You're saying he's cheating?
No, I'm saying that he's got an advantage.
So like when you see a great
sports, harder job, is it harder to be a good photographer if you're shorter? Is that the argument now?
Well, everybody
I would have a harder time doing this because I'm 5'7".
Everybody
is that what you're
looks
telling me?
Better from an angle above their foreheads. And I'm just thinking Randy with his height has an advantage. Well, so when you see a great sports photo, do you think it's skill or luck?
Combination of both.
Really?
Combination of both. Because how many pictures are you taking in that stretch? Like, if there's a big dunk, right, you're taking a sequence of like 80. Like you're like, I don't know if it's an auto thing or
is that the noise?
If you have to press it every time, I don't know how that works. I'd have to look into my camera technology. Somebody said, right, you get the right technology, you get the right camera, easy job. Look at that. People are speaking. I do want to look up Randy Johnson photography now.
I've never seen his photos.
Griffey does this too. Griffey's a professional photographer as well.
Randy's legitimately credentialed and on the sports sidelines of multiple leagues.
He's got his own website.
Randy?
Randy Johnson Photography.
You know, if you reached out and you said Randy.
It's a picture of a band on a stage. It's a picture of an elephant. And it's a picture of somewhere in London of a bridge.
You are so disrespectful to photographs.
Click.
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah, he photographs a lot of live concerts too. That's what I've heard.
Band on the stage.
Yeah,
look at that. They're playing the drum. Oh, look at that. There's the band. Click
the lights.
Okay,
easy job.
Let's get the breakfast menu. I've not eaten today. I'm starving right now.
I'm hungry today too.
It's awful. If you guys could have one thing. Would you go heavy? Would you go light?
I'd go. Give me a breakfast burrito today. Grab and go, egg, sausage, maybe a little bit of ham in there, some potatoes. What am I missing?
I thought you
some
guys salsa. Said no vegetables.
Breakfast burritos are different than omelets. Oh. Different. I got a tortilla there. It's a different texture. It's a different bite. To an omelet, you just want eggs and you want meat. That's all I need. And cheese, obviously.
Okay.
And I think I have to make a little salsa, a little hot sauce on top. That's it. That's all I need. That's good.
I think I'm going lighter-ish. I'm going avocado toast with a nice yolky egg on top.
Ooh, a little yolky egg.
Yeah.
Look at
you. You got to run, so you better keep it light.
Yeah, you got 17 miles coming, bitch.
Yesterday I had a big omelet, you know?
There you go.
Any veggies in there?
You're damn right. I told you I like veggies.
You guys are weird. By the way, everybody was on my side on that. You guys,
yeah,
are weirdos.
We lost that one. That's okay.
Yeah, the fatties lost that one.
The fatties lost that one.
The big boys were on the losing side of that effort. That's okay, though.
It's fine.
Open the show menu today. We find out Josh Pate is hopefully going to be on this time.
7:45. Fingers crossed.
God, our fingers are crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Really want to talk to Pate State this week.
And the phones need to work at 8 o'clock because it's Ken Barkley's last hit.
Yeah, this is it. And maybe he would be willing if something were to technically happen, but like we don't know that for certain. So we really hope we can have our bon voyage to Ken Barkley.
I think we have some fun with him next year because remember, he has a ton of money riding on Oklahoma City winning the NBA championship.
I was going to bring this up with him. I've laid a futures on him, and I hate that team.
I do, too.
I hate that team.
I'm following Ken's lead there.
Me, too.
And if they get into the playoffs next year, that might be a fun check-in of like, how you doing, Ken? What's going on?
We'll see if he does interviews ever again.
Yes.
A little nostalgia to hit you with at 7:15, but let's get it going. Bo Nix announced as the starting quarterback.
What?
Of now.
What?
Former Charger and Tennessee Titan football fans, now currently Bronco fan, Duck fan.
Well, we're a little conflicted right now. Chargers and Broncos, same division, play each other twice a year. It's not going to be easy. It's not a simple switchover, you know?
Unless you're a Bronco fan, it's actually pretty simple. You're rooting for Herbie.
Yeah, you're definitely rooting for
a
Herbie.
A four-year guy, the local in-state kid who didn't get looked at because he got injured at the wrong time.
Yeah.
This isn't a contest. Bo's a hired gun.
Had to deal with Mario. Didn't get to play in this new offense, in this new system.
Yes.
He had to play 1984 offensive football.
Right.
They wouldn't run him, put the restrictor plates on.
They ran him. That was the only way they
beat
Wisconsin.
Not until the Rose Bowl. Yeah. Could have used him in some of those losses in the regular season, you know, against Auburn or Arizona State or some of the other games that they lost. I'm psyched for Bo. This is the right call. It's not a surprise at all. He was always going to be the starter. You don't take a guy in the top 10-ish unless you're weird and you're the Atlanta Falcons right now and not start them. These guys win starting jobs. Drake May will win the job in New England.
It's a redshirt year for Penix.
This is how it works. This is how it goes. And he's also on top of that. Yes, it's preseason. No, it doesn't mean anything. But what he's been able to do so far has looked really good. He's played really good for them through their first two preseason games. I don't have high expectations for them this year. It's a building year. You see what you got. They got to clear that Russell Wilson money off the books and then kind of go from there in the years to come. But it seems like a good fit, and I'm really excited to watch what he does. First game up in Seattle. It's a fun local game. It's going to be right here on the Fan.
Here was Bo Nix yesterday after practice after being announced the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
To get that news, but obviously, you know, as a room, we've been working hard and, you know, putting a lot of good things on film, putting a lot of good things on the practice field. So to get that news is definitely a great thing. And so I'm super excited and, ready to get back to work again and go back to it and start again.
Well, Coach told us that he told you on the practice field right before. Can you just take us through that moment and what it was like hearing that?
Yeah, he walked up, said he's going to tell you guys this afternoon. Let's have a good practice.
Not always the most electric guy behind the microphone, but I think he's pretty excited. I mean, the journey of that guy's career is fascinating.
Imagine saying this 2 years ago. He's going to be a top, 12th overall
12th.
Pick?
12th.
He's going to be a top 12 pick and be the first Broncos rookie to start since John Elway. When he was booted basically out of the Auburn program.
So there's some stuff here. Like everybody has heard this already. We're the morning show getting to react to yesterday afternoon's news. First rookie quarterback to start week one for Denver since John Elway. That's no surprise. Interesting read on The Athletic of it was 16 throws. 16 throws, and Sean Payton called their general manager, Patton, and said, he's it.
He's the guy.
They did an interview. So Payton went to his pro day, and then the next day he was going to do a private one-on-one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Payton gave him a ton of installation, formation, play stuffs, and basically had a tiny window to memorize as much as he could, and said he aced the next day he aced everything in memory recall. And then he said he saw Bo with a backpack, and he went, here we go. You know, these NFL people are weird sickos. Like, would you ever date your mom? Like, they ask the weirdest things. They're always trying to, like, find out dirty details of these guys, right? Sees a backpack from Bo Nix and goes, here we go. I'm going to catch him with a vice. Says he goes, open your backpack. What's in your backpack? And Bo pulls out two pairs of cleats, one for indoor, one for outdoor, and a lacrosse ball for his back so he can roll his back.
He can roll his back because he gets warmed up, yeah.
And he went, Okay, well, I guess you're all about football then. He had no, he was like looking for chewing tobacco. None of it.
He didn't have one show up with a bag of weed. What does he think he's got in there? He's got a pound of cocaine in there. Do you know that?
He's married with a kid already. Hell.
Does he have a kid? Bo's got a kid now?
No, he is married. I'm pretty sure.
I know he's married.
I don't think he has a kid. Okay, maybe not. But he's a responsible dude already.
Definitely married. I don't think he has a kid.
You all know the Elway stuff since, what, 1983 or 4, whatever that stat is, first rookie quarterback. Would this stat blow your mind?
What do you got?
Because it shouldn't, but it kind of did blow my mind. Do you know he is the first rookie quarterback to start week one in Sean Payton's 17-year career?
That wouldn't be too surprising to me.
17 years coaching the NFL, and the guy's never had a rookie start week one.
How many of those years did he have Drew Brees as his quarterback?
Of them. Like almost all of them.
Right, and he didn't have Drew Brees as a rookie. And so the vast majority of his career was Drew Brees. And then at the end there, I knew that they didn't start a rookie at the end of his time. I mean, how many years was he in New Orleans after Drew Brees retired? What, three more years, maybe two?
Yeah,
and it was like Jameis Winston, and it was, I mean, he was going the vet route. They were trying
Taysom Hill experiments.
Yeah, he thought Taysom Hill was going to be a franchise quarterback, and then obviously got to Denver, and it was 1 year. So not the most surprising. It is interesting to see what, and I think this is the conversation that's interesting to me, is that it's a good offensive-minded head coach and a quarterback that seemingly fits that system well. And so I think to that point of that stat, it's how does Sean Payton develop and grow a young quarterback? Like, Colin made this point about Bo being the most, you know, having the best rookie year of all the quarterbacks, and I'm not there. I don't think he's going to do that. Would love to see it. But all the other rookie quarterbacks are playing for defensive-minded head coaches. Every single one. Jaden Daniels, defensive-minded. Chicago, defensive-minded. You go up and down the list. All the other guys are.
And McCarthy's hurt,
and he would be the only other option there. And so I think that's the part of this. It's like, hey, Sean Payton is supposed to be this offensive guru. He had all these great years in New Orleans where they won all these games and, you know, couldn't quite get over the hump after winning the one Super Bowl in 2009. Now he's got his first chance to kind of mold a young quarterback, really for the first time since they acquired Drew Brees, however many years ago that was. And so the first time he's going to start a rookie, I'm curious to see what he's willing to let him do, how aggressive he's willing to be early in the season, how much patience he's willing to have with him, because Bo is going to have bad games. He's going to make terrible mistakes. All rookie quarterbacks do, and it's going to be a test and a challenge for Sean Payton as well.
One season after 2020. Brees retired. That was the 2020 season. They lost it at home to Tampa in the playoffs.
So it was just Jameis, right, in 2021?
So it was just J-Mo for the 1 year, and then he left. He went to Denver. He's 8-9.
And I think he got there, and Brees was already the guy in 06, right?
He's never had less than 7 wins in a season. They're over-unders 5.5. I think it's pretty simple. You kind of alluded to it there. But for me, knowing it was always going to be Bo, this is a bigger year for Peyton than Nix. Yeah. Bo Nix.
You got your guy. You say it's your guy, you got your guy.
It's going to be up and down for Bo. I don't expect Denver to be all that good. I know we're reacting to 2 preseason games, one of which was against a team literally not playing anybody.
Also last year, too. Like, that's still a
They're it's a little bare. That defense, it's not just offense. The defense is a little suspect and questionable at best. And so, like, rookie quarterbacks are going to struggle. I don't think it's about aggression. I think it's about development. And for me, with Sean Payton, like the 12-4 year they lost at home to Tampa, that
was the Brady year. They had a lead in that game.
Yeah, they blew that lead, and that was kind of like the writing on the wall. You could see it with Brees. Wasn't quite there.
Yeah.
Like, they lost that NFC title game to the Rams in the questionable game.
Yes.
I haven't really looked at the Payton stuff, and I know 12-4 is certainly a great record. I didn't really buy the Saints that year. I remember doing the show, and I'm like, you know, I knew they were good. They had home field advantage, but I didn't buy him. I think when we sprayed the line that week, I remember taking the Bucs. So I think Peyton's got a little bit of prove it for me, especially after what I saw last year with Russ.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you got your rookie now. Go read all the intel. This is his dude.
Yeah, it's a guy he loved.
Go prove it. And he's had a great career as a coach, certainly. I think it's crazy to say, but I also believe it. I think it's a bigger year for Sean Payton than Bo Nix.
Yeah, when you identify the quarterback that you think fits best in your system, he has bragged about tricking the Raiders into not taking Bo Nix because he's bragged about where they were in the draft order and calling the Raiders about moving up or down or thinking about moving down. They wanted to get him off the scent.
Which is a weird thing.
The Raiders would take him.
The intel is that the Raiders liked Penix, not Nix.
And they had the chance to draft Penix, right? And they didn't do it.
No. No.
Were they after
they
eight?
They were after eight.
That's right.
Eight,
they were
the Falcons
11.
Taking Penix eight shook everything.
So, I mean, you have circled this guy and identified him as the right fit for your system and the right fit for your offense. And now let's see what you can do, man. I'm genuinely excited. I think it's a good place for Bo to go. I don't look at them as an incompetent organization. I know the Russ deal blew up in their face, but part of making a mistake in professional sports is acknowledging that mistake and getting out of it as soon as possible.
I agree with that.
And they looked at Russ and were like, dude, we'll eat the money. We're the Walmart family, and go ahead. We'll pay $80 million to not have
rookie
play here.
Rookie scale deal.
We can afford this for the next couple of years. And so they admitted their mistake. Yes. I don't look at this as like, oh, God, he went to fill-in-the-blank bad organization. He has a proven head coach.
It's not Carolina.
No. It's good. It should be a good owner. Should be a good head coach. Like, this is all a good fit for him. And so I'm really excited to see what they can do this year.
A little sports nostalgia for you next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joey Votto is hanging him up.
Love Joey Votto.
Everybody loves Joey Votto. Is he a Hall of Famer? I saw this. He's 2010 NL MVP, 2011 yes. Gold Glove, 356 career homers, a .409 on base percentage,
yep,
2,100 hits, a .920 OPS, six-time All-Star, and a 64.4 B WAR. The only players to lead the league in on-base percentage seven times or more. Ted Williams did it 12, Bonds did it 10, Babe Ruth, and Rogers Hornsby.
That's it.
Rogers
Hornsby. Yeah, they used to put S's Rogers. On the end of Rogers back in the day.
Interesting.
For first names.
Bring that back. I kind of like it.
Rogers Hornsby.
I have a friend.
Big fan.
I have a friend who's, they're going to have a baby, and she wants... she's looking for baby names, and so we were in the car the other day, and we're all just firing off names.
Seven.
Well, it's going to be a girl, and I'm like, yeah. Charlie,
yeah.
With a Y.
Ah.
Because the I-E is masculine.
That's right. We thought about Charlie if we were going to have a girl. That was one of our top girl names.
I think it's a cute little girl's name.
Charlie's a solid girl's name.
Votto, Hall of Famer? Is he a Hall of Famer?
This one's easy for me.
Not in your personal Hall of Fame.
I know.
Do you actually think he'll get into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame?
Yes, I do. I do think that he will get in, and he is personally in my Hall of Fame. You have an MVP under your belt. That's a very exclusive award to win.
Well, Dale Murphy.
I mean, he should be in the Hall of Fame. It's laughable that he's not.
Two-time MVP.
I'd be curious to look at their career numbers side by side and see where they're at.
Let me look them up.
His career average being 294 and having the end of his career where he did, like, the last 4 years of his career were not, like, he held, he's 39 years old. Not many guys hold on that long.
Yeah.
And so his last, like, his last 2 years, he had 205, 202. Like, the batting average sunk like a stone.
I hate that, like, we can't have context to.
Yeah, his career average should be, like, 310, if we're being honest, because the last 2 years he was a shell of himself and he only played, like, 60 games.
That was my guy. Andrew Jones won't get in the Hall because his last, like, 3 years weren't good.
They were ugly. They dragged down the career numbers.
Wasn't he connected to some substances too?
Andrew Jones?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Wow. Shots fired from Schultz.
No, first you're giving Bo Nix a kid, now you're giving my favorite center fielder of all time steroid allegations?
He played in the middle of the steroid era, but he was definitely clean. He definitely never did anything.
Well, I'm not saying he was. Look, I'm just saying, like, you said, wasn't he connected?
I thought his name was connected to a few conversations. I might be
wrong. Why don't you piss off? That's a 10 straight Gold Glove winner. Arguably the best defensive center fielder of all time.
Yes, but then when he was with the Yankees, all he did was, what, bat 210 and hit home runs. That's kind of what Andrew
Jones is known for. Oh, he had a 17-year career. How awful.
Yeah, yeah. Extended by...
Do you want to fight? Do you want to just put the mics off and fight?
Let's go outside.
I think that's where we're going right now. You win an MVP. Lord. You win a Gold Glove. He was top 10 in MVP voting multiple times. He was top 5 in MVP voting 3 different times.
Yeah.
He led the league in walks and on-base percentage, I think, 6 or 7 times. Like, he was kind of a throwback player. Even in this more modern era, where batting averages have slowly dipped and on-base percentages have slowly dipped. And I know he's not necessarily as much in this new wave, and he broke in 2007. But you lead the league in on-base percentage in 7 years of your, what did he play, 17 years career? That's remarkable, dude. He was a great defender. He was a great clubhouse guy. He was a face of a franchise for 2 decades nearly.
And by the way,
got an MVP. Like, that dude's absolutely a Hall of Famer.
A franchise that had, like, 2 great years in his career, and great is, like, loosely used there.
They blew a 2-0 lead to my team. They should have won the division around that year.
He never left.
Never left.
He stayed loyal to that city. That city loved him, and it was, like, the only thing they could identify until they got Ellie De La Cruz.
Dude, if you're telling me Jeff Bagwell's a Hall of Famer, get the hell out of here. Joey Votto's a Hall of Famer, and it's a first ballot.
By the way, he bests Murphy in quite a bit of stats.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have 2 MVPs.
A little more recent example, by the way, Joe Mauer was just put into the Hall of Fame last
year. Yeah, that's a
year.
Good one. Mauer got in.
I mean, yeah, like, I get it. He had an MVP under his belt. He got over 2,000 hits, so he did hit some metrics, but
I also give credit to being a catcher. Like, that's...
Well,
Joe Mauer, like, deserves to be... Joe Mauer's a Hall of Famer. Are you arguing Joe Mauer's not a Hall of Famer?
I'm saying it's borderline, and then seeing Joey Votto with even more top 5 MVP finishes under his belt, a ton more homers, ton more ribbies.
I hate that we do this, like, gated community thing.
We gatekeep
thing
too
of,
hard
like,
on
this
it.
Guy, like, Joe Mauer was a stud for a decade. That's,
you know,
a Hall of Famer
that good as a catcher?
Team,
he's also got...
A crappy team.
Team. The Twins were great
then? They
back
were really
then.
Good.
They were in the playoffs every year. They couldn't win in the playoffs,
they
but they were in the playoffs
the
every year. They've lost like 80 straight games to the Yankees dating back to 1952, but that's not his fault. He wasn't the only reason they did. Joe Mauer is also one of those guys that has like mythical stories about him. Have you ever heard his high school football stories?
I haven't, no.
Like bananas.
Really?
Like threw for 700 yards and 70 touchdowns. Like insane high school football player in the state of Minnesota. While his high school
hometown guy.
He's
too.
A hometown. He's a Minnesota kid.
That's
his high
cool.
school baseball stats. He hit like 700 his senior year. Mm. Just remarkable the stories that circulate about him. But absolutely a Hall of Famer. And Joey Votto. We are way too strict. Like, just, you got to feel. You either know or you don't. You look at Joey Votto. We all saw him play for 17 years.
Hall of Famer.
It's an easy answer. You don't want him to be first ballot. Whatever. Put him in the second ballot.
Eli Manning. No.
2 Super Bowls.
They made it to 3.
Beat Brady twice.
You didn't watch Eli
beat
Manning
Brady
play.
Twice. 17-0.
Yeah, he's only going to be Brady.
17-0.
Him and Big D Foles.
I've seen, there's actually a push right now from Giants folks who say they want the Giants to re-sign Barry Bonds to a one-day contract, have him re-retire, so his Hall of Fame candidacy
can restart.
restarts again.
I watched a cool thing. Maddox has a doc coming out, a docuseries about him, and there's a video blurb of him and Bonds watching an at-bat separately, but at the same time.
It is baseball porn, man.
It is, and I'm just like, that guy's not going to get in the Hall of Fame. It's unbelievable because he did a little bit of something. Very quickly, because we need to go. Remember the day when Sports Illustrated made a Super Bowl pick and it was a big deal?
I do. I remember when their top 25s used to be a big deal. Famously, Oregon State, number 1 overall, Fresno State, hello.
SI Super Bowl pick is the Lions.
Lions over who?
I didn't read. Everybody else, I
saw the headline.
Sports Illustrated. I just saw the headline, but it took me back of like, I remember how big of a deal it was when Sports Illustrated did college football picks and NFL picks. And now I couldn't care less.
Couldn't care less.
I could not care less.
The ironic thing about their picks is that when they had a number one overall, you never wanted to be at number one in the SI poll. It was like the Madden curse. If you were the number one team,
a little bit of that.
In the preseason poll, you're like, oh, God, this is going to be a bad year, man. It was cool to see the cover of the magazine because your team would be on it, but you knew immediately this is not going to end well for us. Sports Illustrated's got a bad track record.
Always Scoducks tweets, fire Schultz, these baseball takes are insane.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, is it the Joe Mauer or Andrew Jones take? What are we pissing people off about?
Andrew Jones was in the steroid era. Like I'm not speaking out of turn there. And
no. You said, but specifically, you made it sound like he was connected to something.
It was kind of aggressive.
He can't just play in an era and connect every player.
But in that
era, is Tom Glavine a steroid abuser?
They're every player for about a 10-year period.
He's 52, man. How do you think he made it that long?
Come on, no. Obviously, Vladdy
was on the HGH.
Now you're putting Vladdy?
No,
Vladdy?
That's what you guys
don't
said.
Don't do it.
No, I was about Vlad to say no. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is not somebody that should. No, but that's obvious because he was always injured. Kind of like Ken Griffey Jr. Come on.
Of course, his guy never did it. My guy was clean.
Edgar and Randy.
Edgar never touched the stuff.
Derek Jeter probably never did steroids. Like, he was in that era
Why
as well.
Why do you say that?
Because he was known, like, there are so many people that you could just, you've heard through circles of conversations, all right, yeah, they're connected to it, but when it comes to Jeter and Griffey, the conversations are much different. And Jeter's not my guy. Come on, yeah, Jeets, like, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, why is Jones in this and not Jeter?
I look at the two. Look at Andrew Jones's body.
Does Ryan
type.
Braun look like a steroid user?
Yeah, Fernando Tatis Jr.
Did Ryan Braun look like a steroid user?
Yes, he did.
D. Gordon look like a steroid user?
Hold on. Randomly, who was
Mariner legend?
Good at 40 years old in his last year?
Derek Jeter came out of nowhere at the end
really
of his career.
Really weird, isn't that? Huh? Yeah. Oh, but no, he's not. He's not buff,
never,
so he can't be in it.
Never.
I said he wasn't connected to them in the circles of.
But you are the only one connecting to Andrew Jones.
It's
I'm
so
not,
dumb that
I
we
Google
even
it.
Have to do this, right? Like, it's so dumb. I don't care. If you did, or like put him in the damn Hall of Fame.
What era?
This era of baseball didn't happen.
Joe Mauer, for me, is borderline. And I was trying to make the comparison that looking at him last year getting in to Joey Votto's numbers, Joey Votto should be a absolute slam dunk. That's the only point I was trying to make.
Joe Mauer's no Cal Raleigh.
And Joe... Oh, shut up.
Cal Raleigh... That dumper's a little... It's not authentic looking to me.
It's always you think
did he get a BBL?
His dumper? He got a BBL.
Is there a BBL? Did he go to Brazil?
Cal Raleigh's average sucks. I think he has thrown out near the top amount of base stealers this year. He's hit a ton of home runs. He's the Mariners' best hitter. Is he the top catcher in the league? No. I suck for making that take. I will eat crow all day for that. But yeah, it's easy to get a little high on my Mariners every once in a while.
Does a BBL count as steroids?
What?
If it helps you get the ball and the bat.
You know when you hit one of those drives and you're like, hey, that was a two-cheek swing. Like, I got all that one.
That thing doesn't go if he doesn't quite have as much oomph behind him.
He's got a lot
I mean?
Of junk in the trunk. I think we should test it. I want to test his BBL.
That's a good poll question. Does Cal Raleigh's butt,
yes,
the size of his butt, help the ball go further?
Absolutely it does. That's why he's the big dumper.
I mean, and it's sitting up pretty perky.
It is.
His age, I don't know if it should be so perky.
It's not flabby at all. It's very
a lot
firm.
Of allegations when Cal Raleigh retires. I don't know, man.
I'm
going to
be there on Saturday. I'm going to walk. I'm going to check out Cal Raleigh's dumper. I'll report back on Monday to you.
Yeah, cop a feel. Let me know.
I'm going to do this. We're already past it. Let's just call Pate. This break's about 4 minutes.
It.
I mean, I don't think he's going to care. So,
okay.
Josh Pate next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers. Independently brewed since 1996, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. It looks like sometimes in modern recruiting, Verbal commitments stick. Doesn't always happen.
Makes me nervous every time.
You got to get to signing day. It's never a guarantee. You get the verbal commitment, and then on signing day, you're just, who else is giving you a call? Could you flip somewhere else? Is he going to Mobile? Is it Birmingham? I don't know where it's going to be.
What's the NIL like?
I think our recruiting pitch, it worked, and the verbal commitment stuck. It is signing day. Josh Pate joining us again at Late Kick. Josh, the host of Late Kick Live, Late Kick Podcast every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday tonight at 5 o'clock our time live on YouTube. Josh, do you read me? Do you copy? Are you there?
Yeah, it was a tough day yesterday. I went about my day, and you know, people just come up to you during the day at the gym or at work and say, hey, how you doing? And they expect I'm good. Well, yesterday they got I'm not doing so well. No. And then they asked why, and I just said, you wouldn't understand. But really, it all stemmed from what happened yesterday morning.
It was devastating for everybody involved.
I mean, I was ready for a 15-minute conversation about Clint Black. I liked the direction we were going, and then the phone cut out. I was all jacked up, man. I was ready to talk country music with you.
Ironically, you know, Clint Black was one of the people at the gym who I told my day sucked to. So, yeah, it is what it is. I like the rain. I fell for it yesterday.
You, I actually find you to be probably one of the more nicer people. I remember reaching out to you years ago, and you responded pretty quickly. You've always been very kind to us out west, and now we got a Big Ten team, and, you know, we got a looming Power Four team in Oregon State maybe one day, hopefully. What is the most awkward time somebody has come up to talk to you? Like, are we talking like mid curl, like Pate's pushing through, it's the eighth rep of the set, he's got the 80s in each hand, he's getting his Arnold on in midway, love the show, man, how you doing? Like, what is the most weirdest random interaction you've had?
This is very easy answer. It's when you're wrapping up at the urinal and someone starts a conversation. I'm talking post zip, reach for the flush, someone says, bro, I wanted to run something by you. Well, not here, you don't. Oh, yes. No, I do. Right here. Hear me out. 2.5 minutes on Penn State.
The worst would be them
your
looking.
James Franklin takes. Piss me off, Josh.
The worst would be you're in that situation that you could tell they're kind of side-eyeing you in the Penn State, huh? And you're just like, oh, this is weird. I don't know what to do right now.
Make it awkward eye contact.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't even have the dividers between us. It's a trough situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's with you guys in the South? I experienced this for the first time at Nebraska. I went to the Oregon-Nebraska game, and I really had to go. And here I am, just me and eight dudes at a trough. It just was a very interesting experience.
Well, at least it wasn't circular. What do you have against community, by the way? That's heart. That's the pulse of a community.
Well, quite literally could be the pulse. Depends on the time of day.
Yeah, the circular trough is a big... That's when you get into some issues, man. Everybody's out, everybody's open, and everybody's looking at each other. Let's get to some football, shall we? So Oregon's going to the Big Ten. You talk about this a lot on your show. We hear from it, and I know you hear from it as well, of the... Who is Dan Lanning beaten? What has Dan Lanning won? Why is Dan Lanning getting all of this attention and all this hype? I'm a golf guy, and I like to go down the belief of it's not he hasn't, or it's not that he can't, it's that he hasn't yet. Like Xander Schauffele was this way a year ago in golf. Just hadn't won a major. It didn't mean he couldn't. He just hadn't done it yet. When you see a lot of that, and I'm sure Dan Lanning's not the only coach, how frustrating is it to you to look at some of these guys young in their career and realize they've only been a coach for 1 or 2 years, but that's already the narrative out there?
Oh, well, it's not frustrating to me because it assures I'll always have a job. Because if a lot of people think like that, then at least my voice will stand out a little bit. But it stuns me in one way, and it doesn't stun me in another way that people think like that. I call it 10 or trash mentality, where you're either racking up national titles like Nick Saban or Kirby Smart, or you suck. There are no rungs on the ladder. There is no really good, pretty good, above average. That's the way a normal scale, a sliding scale, would work. In this world, it's you're either a multiple-time championship winner or you haven't won anything. Like, what has he won? And I'll tell you where that's really going to bite some folks. We're coming out of this Nick Saban era where the word dynasty got thrown around, and rightly so. That was probably the best one we've ever seen in college football. I doubt we'll see dynasties again. If by dynasty people mean winning multiple titles over a certain year period, just because the era of the portal, NIL plus expanded playoff all happening at the same time spreads things so much thinner that it may be impossible. And so what we're doing is we got Nick Saban 5 minutes behind us, that era 5 minutes behind us. It's the lasting image in people's minds. Everyone's going to be held to that standard. So if you hadn't done what he's done, like, what have you really won? And it's ludicrous. So with Lanning, I mean, 3 years in, entering a third year, to be shouting, what has this guy won, is mind-boggling to me. To look at their talent acquisition, to look at all the indicators, in other words, that usually foretell winning down the road in a big way, he's got all of them. And yet, time and time again, for 150 years, people have watched this sport and not learned anything, apparently. So I guess Dan Lanning hasn't won anything. And also, by the way, guys, I guess if you haven't literally put a national title on your mantle within 2 years, you're just incapable of doing it? Is that the logic that I'm supposed to be buying into when I dare to talk up Dan Lanning and someone comes back with, well, he hasn't won anything? What am I supposed to even do? Am I supposed to say, all right, 8-4 at best, let's move on?
Guy's a bum.
There's a famous video of you seeing Lanning at a game, and I can't remember if it was, it may have been last year.
It was the Washington game.
It was the Washington game, and, yep. And you guys, there was a video, and you guys were given nucks.
I'm sure Husky fan let you forget that one.
Oh, I'm sure. But, like, I would imagine your relationship started not in Eugene. It started when he was probably at Georgia, and maybe even before that at somewhere like Memphis. I don't know, but I'd imagine you've known each other for a little bit. I'm curious, Kirby says something and it makes waves. And Saban kind of had that mantle and may still have that mantle, but he's gone now, right? He's not coaching in the sport. It might be Kirby, but Georgia's had a very troubling off the field off season. But Kirby even mentions Dan's name. And then Big Ten Media Day's here, and there's a floating duck in a river, and Lanning is saying all the things, and now they've got this docuseries about that team out west. I'm curious, are you surprised, knowing Lanning as long as you have, that in a weird way, he hasn't won yet, and I think I would put him at or near the top of probably biggest voices in the sport already?
That's a good way to put it. So two things. Number one, I agree with you. I think not just Dan, but the folks around him have a really good broad sense of the game. You know, he is a football coach, but at the same time, you're a major face, you're a major player in the second biggest sport in America. And so some guys get that and some guys don't. Some guys have no interest in getting that. Some guys want to be football coaches, and that's completely fine. But there is a whole lot higher ceiling. There's more oxygen in the room than just wearing the whistle around your neck when you have that head coaching title. I think they get that. A lot of that is indicated in the stuff you talked about. You never go too long in this sport without hearing either his name or hearing University of Oregon or hearing something about them in the main frame of the conversation. I mean, they haven't played a game in the Big Ten yet. They're the second or at worst third most talked about team in the Big Ten right now. I guarantee you Oregon's talked about more than Penn State, and Penn State's been there forever. So that's not an accident. The second thing, and this is something to watch going forward, I talked to Kirby about this when we had him on the show in the spring. With Saban out of the room, that voice, that face that everyone used to look to be like the mouthpiece for college football is not there as an active head coach. So who fills that void? And people think that's insignificant. It is very significant because if you don't have smart, informed people as major voices at the table, you'll still have voices at the table, but in their place will be uneducated, uninformed, and ill-prepared voices, which is, by the way, how college football got in the position it's in right now, which is largely a mess. So you need those authoritative voices. So who's that going to be? So I asked Kirby that. You can tell, man, he's a little uncomfortable with inserting himself into that role. A lot of these guys are uncomfortable because that's not what they aspire to be. They didn't aspire to be some ambassador. They aspired to be a head coach. But when you take those positions, it is my personal belief that baked into your core responsibility is to go above and beyond just being the face of your program. The biggest ones, the 5 or 10 biggest ones, they have to be ambassadors for the sport as well, or else the sport ends up drifting in a direction we don't want it to go. So Dan Lanning's one of those. I just don't think we have a singular one of those right now.
Interesting. We're talking with the commissioner, Josh Pate, at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Go give him a follow. The host of Late Kick Live, the Late Kick podcast, every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock our time, live on YouTube. Looking forward to the show tonight. Kirby had comments, since we're talking about him, recently, about, you know, kind of bemoaning his depth and saying it's, you know, the depth of his depth on his roster because of the transfer portal. And on the one hand, I see that and I think,
hey, this is kind of one of those positives of the NIL and the transfer portal, that they can't just stockpile talent and be 100 points better than everybody else. And then on the other hand, I think, am I falling for a Kirby Smart trap right now where he's saying this publicly about his team, even though he knows he has enough depth, but he's trying to throw a little red meat out there into the locker room? What was your read on those comments, and do you think this is maybe a more balanced depth look that we've had at the top of the sport than we've ever had?
Yeah, he doesn't really do that thing. The latter part of what you said, I mean, he'll try and motivate his guys sometimes, but you follow that guy, you hang around him long enough, you come to learn if he says it, he just means it. He's very brutally honest about that stuff. He's very brutally honest about assessing his team. You know, when I had him in the spring, one of the first things out of his mouth was, I'm really concerned about our defensive depth up front. We're young at safety. They just had to dismiss a guy at safety. They're very young back there. They're probably going to rely on some freshmen to play. Now, they're five-star, but they got to rely on them to play. They're not their vintage self, able to take over games and suffocate you with two or three deep guys that are going to play on Sundays on the defensive line. So, like, that's been a concern of his, and it's an overarching concern because you're right. They can't just stack those guys anymore. Now, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I guess it depends on your vantage point. I'm sure folks at Boise State think that's a good thing. I think the folks in the South would think that's a bad thing. So that all depends on your perspective. But long term, let me tell you this, too. There are some people in the South who believe Kirby Smart is on the backside of his career because of that. Now, that sounds weird because he's not even 50 years old yet, and history says if you're at a premier program like that and you're his age, you still got another 20 years. If he wants it, he still does have another 20 years. There's just there's a school of thought, shall I say, in the South that maybe the changing landscape, some of the things that pushed Nick Saban into retirement could push some of these other guys towards that route as well, and those guys may just be a lot younger than Nick Saban. So it's something to keep an eye on. If you're the head coach at Georgia, you're always going to have the advantage relative to the field. But that's not the way those guys look at it. Those guys look at it as, there's a way I like to do it. There are certain non-negotiables. I'm all about evolution, but then there are certain non-negotiables. And if I have to start, like Dabo's dealing with it right now with the portal, if I start having to venture down the road of revisiting my non-negotiables, that may be a non-starter.
We've talked a lot about Ohio State on this show because, well, Oregon's in the Big Ten now, and we'll see what Washington's going to be, and Lincoln Riley and USC, and Ohio State absolutely loaded. I mean, a ton of people are picking them to win the title, if not the Big Ten Conference at a minimum. And we've noted, like, Ryan Day's record at Ohio State, and we had somebody on CBS yesterday who says he's probably the coach most, like, untrustworthy in a big game. That's an obvious name because he's 1-6 against top five. It's just, I'm not always been the biggest Ryan Day guy, but we've just sat here and been like, do you see this record? Do you see how they're recruiting? The discourse, it's not even a question, Josh. The discourse of Ryan Day this offseason has been what to you?
A little warped, I guess, at the very least. Look, there's a reality about recruiting at the level they do and being resourced at the level they are. This is not the NFL. So no one really cares about record. People care about record in the NFL because allegedly everyone starts from the same playing field, and then if you suck, that's your fault. It's not because you make X amount of dollars less than the Raiders or whatever. So in college football, and I don't think this is really unfair, this part of it, nobody cares if Ohio State beats Purdue 10 times out of 10. No one cares about their record against Minnesota. They're supposed to beat them. If they don't, it's a totally different conversation you got to have. You are going to get judged based on your record against a handful of teams. Now, I'll give Ryan Day credit. We've had him on the show twice in the past couple of months, and every time he almost beats you to saying it. The words come out of his mouth before they have a chance to come out of yours, and every time it's, I know what you have to do here. I'm not an idiot. I get it. I know what my job is. I know if I don't beat those teams, they're going to fire me. I mean, those were his exact words when we had him on in the spring. And but at the same time, like, those are his words. Those aren't my words. I look at it, and I always ask myself, all right, what are you really advocating for? Like, when people say that, I really want them to put their cards on the table. Don't speak arbitrarily. Don't fragment your thoughts. Just tell me, if you think that about Ryan Day, let's say he loses to Michigan this year. They go 11-1 in the regular season, lost to Michigan. Let's say they go 10-2, lose to Oregon and Michigan. That means they're a playoff team. What are you advocating for? Are you advocating for his firing? And if you're advocating for his firing, are you telling me definitively you know you will upgrade from him? The answer is always, well, you know. All right, well, if you don't have a definitive answer, then stop making the definitive statements. I get what people are saying. I think that they will silence a lot of that this year. It's my personal belief they have the team to silence a lot of that this year, and revisiting those statements a few months from now will provide a lot of entertainment. But even here in the moment, even before they've done it, even before we know, I think a lot of it's very warped.
And it's funny how that similar the conversation was about Jim Harbaugh 3 years ago and his record against top five teams and his record against, I think it was 0-5 against Ohio State, and then he finally broke through, and how different the narrative is shortly after. Last one for you, Josh. I know it's a show day for you. We appreciate the verbal commitment sticking today. You wade into these social media bubbles every now and then, and expectations can be all over the map for certain teams. I am seeing Washington fan on one side saying, hey, nobody gave us a chance 2 years ago. We hired Kalen DeBoer and we won 10 games and nobody talked about us in the preseason. Look what Jed Fish did at Arizona. And then others saying, we're replacing basically everybody and an entire new staff. 6 wins would be lucky. Just curious your read on Washington as they're going into their first year in the Big Ten with so many changes on that organizational roster.
Yeah, well, they won't be in any kind of conference title contention conversation. I think the best way to gauge that is listen to the head coach there. I mean, Jed Fish, if anyone's listened to him, has done his best to temper expectation, provide a realistic time frame. He understands they're not starting over in a sense that he's inheriting a poor program. It's a very unique situation. Normally, if you're talking about the kind of lift he has there, it means the guy that you're taking over for got fired. Well, the guy he's taking over for was so good, he got the Alabama job. The unique circumstance is it just so happens his entire roster left, either to transfer or to the NFL. So you're taking over a really rock-solid program, but it's just you have to rebuild the roster within the program, which is not normally the kind of yin and yang that he's dealing with. So I don't think it's a multi-year rebuild, but to think this year they're right back in that thing is a little far-fetched. I think he understands that. I think that's why he, at Big Ten Media Day, answered as frequently as possible. His biggest challenge is building a football team, like building a roster. Like, he didn't say program, he said roster for that very reason.
Yeah. It's good to know that Josh Pate verbal commitment still means something. At Late Kick Josh on Twitter, the host of Late Kick Live, the Late Kick Podcast, tonight live on YouTube, 5 o'clock our time, also every Sunday and Tuesday, back to 3 days a week now that college football season is upon us. Thanks as always, my man. Looking forward to next week, and we'll chat again soon.
I appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Josh Pate. Good stuff from him.
The phone was glorious
today. We got it. Well done, everybody.
It sounded like a landline.
Good job. Good effort. We went a little bit long.
We're way over.
A little bit long.
We got to go.
Let's take a break. Ken is not up next.
Yeah,
He'll be up kind of next.
That's my point.
Next. Back after this.
It's crunch time.
Let's go.
Where Dirt and Spray crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th old Eastmoreland.
Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
All right, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com.
Ken Barkley is next.
It happens. You know, the commish comes on. The commish is going to comedy or a bit of the show. That's the way it's going to work.
Yeah.
And so, you know, look, you got to juggle things every now and then. We do have Ken Barkley to start the final hour. I'm very excited about that. I did see this yesterday. So we have a Coke-off going on in college football. I'm going to play these quickly. This will be your crunch time segment. Crunch time to figure out, should you or should you not drink Coca-Cola products? Lane Kiffin did this at his presser the other day.
Does anybody drink Coke? You guys had 130% of your sugar for the entire day is in this one bottle. 65 grams of sugar. A long time. I don't know. Chris Lowe drinks Coke, though. I didn't know that.
Shout out to Chris Lowe. They're a sponsor of Ole Miss football. Bottle was on the podium, and that's what led to this. Well, yesterday, Brian Kelly at LSU, also sponsored by Coca-Cola, walked up to his post-practice press conference and gave him one of these.
Just a shout out to our sponsor, Coke. Smart Water.
Recruiting
great
Wars.
Coke product. Minerals, vitamins.
What?
It's just great for you. It's refreshing, healthy.
hell?
And
I think he's talking
Coke
smart
provides
water.
You all oh. the products that you need, depending on what you like.
Oh, and, okay.
Smart I love
water,
smart
yeah.
water. You caught on.
Ooh, it's good. It's good. We got a Coke up. Does Coke drop Ole Miss from their sponsorships?
Whoa.
They
might, but there's a real lane for Lane Kiffin to step in and find a different drink sponsor that's more healthy, I guess, for his lifestyle.
Yes.
Look, I will always be a Coke guy. You're as a Coke or Pepsi family.
Yeah, I'm a Pepsi guy.
Really?
I'm a Pepsi guy.
Ditto.
Yeah, Pepsi guy.
I am very disappointed by it. You guys are un-American. I will always be Coke, and especially I get my Frances on with the Diet Cokes.
You're a Diet Coke guy? You want that aspartame in your system, baby?
I'm not happy about it, but, you know.
Literally, the real sugar is better for you than the aspartame.
I'm well aware.
Just so you know.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
Okay. Poll questions up. Coke or Pepsi? There you go. There's your Crunch Time. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time Portland, Vancouver online at crunch.com. Ken Barkley is now/next. Lots of other things to get to in the final hour, including Saudi Arabia coming to college football. What? Loaded final hour next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.